about it. Everyone got so excited about Matthew being super alone.
Yes, it's dad time. Dad pants again. And Stu's here. That's me. That's me. That's the guy talking. Hope you've had a great week. Whether you're a dad or something other than a dad. I'm not going to discriminate here in regards to who I want to have a good week. So, what have you been up to? I can't hear anything. Is anyone answering? It's just a stupid little dad joke. Speaking of dad jokes, here's a fucking awful one for you. What do you call an overweight psychic? A four-chin teller. That's awful, isn't it? Chin, four chins, yeah. Rather than telling you jokes like that, I'm not going to dither about. Let's just get straight into the chat. Monty's back. Bloody hallelujah. Decided to turn up. I'm joking. I have not forgotten what it's like to have a young child. Don't worry. Here's the team.
Get ready to wear pants. Dad pants specifically. And we do that with the pants panel because who else would you do it with? Matt, Rich, Ben, hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hey. And I brought Monty with me this time just for something bloody different.
Hey, guys. Hey just Mons. A quick question. Your, you did a kind of Bruce Buffer style, let's get ready to rumble. Kind of vibe, nice. Right?
Wear pants. Yeah.
No, I heard you. Yeah. As a question, like as a dad thing, right? You kind of got to be a bit into boxing.
There wasn't a wave of support.
I'd push back on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on. I'd jab back on that.
Hey.
Yeah, it's a boxing thing.
Look, I really enjoy watching. Like maybe 15 to 20 second snippets of Mike Tyson highlights. Yeah. That is basically about as far as I would go in regards to my understanding or want to actually watch or be involved in boxing, to be perfectly honest.
My favorite Mike Tyson highlights is that post-match interview where he explains his broken back and he says, yeah, I was doing 1,000 push-ups a day. And then the doctor, you won't believe it, he said to me, Mike, your back is broken. And the guy says, well, like, is it a vertebrae? What is it? Spinal. It's spinal. That's all he can go into. He only says, my back is broken. It's spinal. I do 1,000 push-ups a day. Anyway, sorry, I got off topic there. So we don't have to be a boxing fan if you're a dad. I like boxing, but I don't think I know enough
about it.
That's okay. Oh. You're still a newish dad, so you've got to feel out what the other dads are doing. Because right now, you're probably thinking, I'm a dad and I like these things. So yes. Until you sound them off, hit it. Yeah,
yeah. And have you just started liking boxing since your child was born? Is that what you're asking us?
No, it's not. It felt like the kind of thing you could probably chat to other dads about. Like I watched the highlights of that Tyson Fury fight and I was thinking other dads would like to talk about this.
I think unlike a lot of other sports, there's a lot of nostalgia around boxing. Like it's remained relatively pure over the course of its existence. So you can talk about, you know, Joe Louis fighting in the 30s and Ali and everything like that. So there's very much a consistency as opposed to a lot of other sports which have gone through a lot of technological change. Yes, Aussie Joe. Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
I don't follow boxing at all, but I can tell you which fights to watch on YouTube from history that are well worth your time. There's like obviously, you know,
Gatti versus what's that Gatti fight's crazy.
Yeah, Hagler versus Hearns is
pretty
fantastic. Yeah. I always like the little the middleweights fighting.
Butterbean. A lot of Butterbean.
Butterbean, yeah.
Butterbean. Work, yeah. I think this one of my favorite writing is about boxing, like sports writing. Huh. I think that it lends itself to a very
a sweet science.
Eloquent turn of phrase, very literary. I don't know. There's something about it. It's got very I think that the primal, and maybe it goes back to Byron and whatever, but there's a lot of God, we're getting off topic straight away, aren't we?
No, if you watch
this isn't a topic. Exactly.
If you watch When We Were Kings, my favorite documentary of all time.
Yeah.
But that's all like George Plimpton and Norman Mailer, like sitting ringside and writing like 20,000 words on the fight. That's what they used to do. They used to
That's what I mean, like the actual writing around it. And I think baseball is similar as well. Like I've got literally no interest in baseball, but the writing around baseball and everything is
I have brutal. Huge interest in baseball and writing, sports writing. So like as a man,
now we're getting into real dad territory.
Right.
This is interesting, right? Because
one testicle shooting animals in the jungle. It's movable feast, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, Hemingway is that the Hemingway book where F. Scott Fitzgerald? I know it is. I'm just saying, is it? But that's the same book where F. Scott Fitzgerald says, "Can you look at my penis and tell me it's okay?"
Yes, it is indeed.
Well, it's the book or his penis is okay.
Both of those things.
He says, "Look, my wife keeps telling me I've got a small penis. Can you have a look at it for me and let me know?" And he's like, "All right." And then he looks at it and he says, "Yeah, it's fine. Your wife's obviously just messing with you."
Back on
Dead Wombat Zelda.
Wouldn't it be amazing to do a title fight one day?
Have an interest to watch it live. I don't know.
Really? It feels like more of the event, less so the watching the sport. But
I think going down to the pub and watching, it's usually a club or whatever, going down to the club and watching the pay-per-view awesome boxing fight with a group of very manly meatheads is a certain rite of passage. I think that you've got to do it at least a couple of times. I really enjoyed it. But, it's not something I do regularly. Like, I'm not a big fan of the UFC. But
I do not like it at all. I can't get into it. The cuddling is too much. I just don't. I don't like it.
Is that a dad thing? Now, my biggest concern about boxing is that, and I do enjoy that the day of it. It's like you can go and you watch all the undercards, and then you finally get to the main event. And most of my experiences in regards to watching, five or six fights leading up to a main event, they are awesome. The lead-up fights are exceptional. And then it builds up to this main event and it's underwhelming. I haven't really experienced a really great fight. Like all of these older fights that we're talking about at the moment were obviously well before our time. And we can go back and look at them with with rose-colored glasses, I suppose. But most of what's happening these days is pretty ordinary.
And the sport's corrupted itself out of being enjoyable.
Sports corrupt. And it's also it's very much fallen foul of the medical establishment as well. Like it's just to that stage of apparently it's not okay to consistently beat someone in the head as much as possible until they're knocked unconscious.
One of my parenting strategies.
Oh, no. That's no longer cool.
Bloody woke culture.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, Obama.
All right. So did that get you somewhere where you wanted to be, Monty, that discussion in terms of dadness and boxing?
You know where I wanted to be? I wanted to be in a discussion talking about boxing, and it got me right there.
I think though you've hit on something, pun not intended, that the sports writing is a real dadly thing. The sport itself I always loved, but now I'm a dad, there's a lot more of sports writing that I enjoy, and even reading books about previous era sport.
I think that's really, really exciting. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like reading books about baseball for me is much more interesting than reading books more than a game of baseball.
Do you think it's kind of lingering in sport longer than you should be? That because obviously a certain amount of time per week might be dedicated to watching sport, and that's your downtime. But there might be a bit of a joy in just lingering in the sport peripheries a bit.
Oh, I like that. Podcasting as well. I listen to way too much sport podcasts for sports I don't really care about. I can tell you about what's happening in the NFL. But yep, I don't me give too. Shit.
But then, I guess the energy is addictive too, isn't it? Sometimes with those.
Yeah.
With those shows. Anyway. All right.
That was some good energy in our show.
Yeah, I liked it.
Early on.
Yeah,
it was really good. Let's not let it die. It feels like it's about to die.
Well, it's because I just confused myself. I'm trying to look at the rundown for this Dad Pants episode, obviously. But I've got something else open, which is a rundown I was starting for a podcast that Monty and I used to do called Welcome to Television.
Oh.
And I just started writing one in case we want to do one again. And the only note on it, which was what confused me when I clicked on the Word document and this came up, the next thing to talk about. Absolutely, you can guess.
Is it Matlock?
Is it Night Court?
No. Matlock? Is it about Bert Newton's missing limb?
No.
Is it related?
Is it ranking the sexuality of the crime sleuths from the 90s, Jessica Fletcher style, Columbo?
Oh, okay.
I put Dana Scully at number one.
Yeah.
Now that's close.
Ranking the sexuality of the co-hosts of Sailor's Entry.
That's colder. Oh,
it's close to X-Files.
Okay. So is it related to the best boobs in the Californication series?
Excuse me.
There's a link. I get it. He's making a link from X-Files, Californication.
Yeah. All right. Fox Mulder.
And boobs.
Listen. I don't want to linger here too long because it's not even the right podcast. But
late.
It was just a little fact, which was that David Duchovny auditioned to play all three male lead roles on Full House.
Oh,
at the same time?
Wow.
What do you mean, in the same audition?
One man show for Full House. David Duchovny doing one man Full House. Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
What, talking to him to turn that into a deep fake? Wow. With David Duchovny as Michelle and Stephanie.
Can you imagine him playing the Olsen twins? Yeah, exactly. That's him.
Anyway, that's not very daddish. Bob Saget.
You got it, dude.
Character is daddish. No. But,
that was great, Ellis. Go back and enjoy that.
Sorry.
It was just David Duchovny as the Olsen twins.
All right. I'm flicking back momentarily to the actual rundown. Anyone got any anecdotes from the last week or so that are either pod worthy or pod compliant, i.e. not going to cause you any dramas?
I suppose we had some extensive isolation going on here, which was lots of fun again. Let's just keep that rolling on. Hopefully it'll be the last session, but we did do an ISO birthday, which was a little bit different and a little bit interesting. So I suppose it's really just sending out the jives, bringing the love for my 6-year-old daughter, Tilly, who had an isolation birthday, which is not fantastic, but she definitely, of course, as all kids her age said, it was the best birthday ever and had a fantastic day, which was really nice. It was a really nice day with the family. It worked out well because I was at home because I couldn't go to school. So there we go. Everyone was at home together.
Out of curiosity, you reckon ISO birthday worse or World War II birthday worse?
I think it depends on where you were during World War II.
World War II.
Southern Austria.
World
War II has less butter.
Well, true. And my
Southern Austria, 1939. Okay. 44. Yeah. Maybe not.
Right? Yeah.
Supplementary question here.
My supplementary question actually leads in. Well, it gives a little bit more information around why lockdown birthday would be better. But Ellis, were you able to order in most of your birthday goods?
Uber Eats was very different in World War II.
We were very organized. So from the get-go, so we ran the line of the law. Okay, that was the letter of the law was the way we ran it. So we really kind of on the
day outlaw
before,
birthday.
kind of, well, before the notifications and everything came through.
I
knew, so I knew that I was a close contact. So I didn't, obviously, I isolated from the rest of the family and I didn't want to go out or anything like that. But then Tony still wasn't contacted, or, and there's no official line or anything there. So we sent her out for the big shop that night. So everything was kind of done and dusted, including, and the prezzies and stuff were all organized. So it was just the cake stuff was the big thing. And yeah, that was already well under control. So everything was well in hand. It was no dramas.
All right.
Awesome.
And, well, speaking of birthdays, two of our pants panel have recently had birthdays too, Matt and Ben.
Yay. Birthday boys.
Yay.
Yeah. We saw a picture of Matt's present, which was
a lot of beer
he could barely fit his arms around, which we enjoyed. Mm. Ben, what about you, fella? How'd you go?
Oh, look, I got a lot of beer as well, which was nice. I got some new sunnies, which was nice. I got an El Guapo shirt, which was excellent.
Oh, that's amazing.
Would you say you got a plethora of beers?
No, but Wiggins gave me an El Guapo shirt as well. Yeah. And even better than that, it says El Guapo Sweater Company. We have a plethora of sweaters. Yeah. I've already got this shirt, so now I've got a plethora of plethora shirts.
Wow, that's amazing. That is the greatest ever.
And as a dad too, like I wore it. I got the shirt just after I'd watched that The Three Amigos with my kids, and my youngest was like, I want that shirt. And she started wearing it to bed. And I was like, are you going to give that back? And she was like, no, I'm going to wear it. It's my bed shirt. So now I've got my own shirt. Now, thank you, Wiggins.
Hey,
I have my pleasure. Own shirt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Oh, good. And is, you know, anything daddish about your birthdays other than getting beer particularly?
Well, look, it's not really a present. It's more of something that I've been working towards. But today I went out and looked at my lawn and it was... Like, we know where it's been, right? And it's now getting back to where it needs to be. And I was really, really happy with the work that I've done. And so to have that happen around my birthday was really quite nice.
So I sort of imagine like the Wizard of Oz, Wiggo, where your house was in black and white and then you went through the door and just waves of colour, of beautiful green washed over you.
Well, do you know what The changing point or the reference point for me was when I went out the other day and I was spraying some Sea Soul onto the lawn.
Yeah, fine and, product.
Yeah, a beautiful product and hopefully a sponsor soon.
Hope you're listening.
And the wind changed as it did in The Wizard of Oz and the Sea Soul sprayed all over my face. Now, at that particular stage, I sort of sat back and went, that doesn't taste real good. And
I thought you were going to scream out, I'm melting.
But I went and I washed myself down and then I came back outside.
And your beard had grown really thick.
That's right. Your beard was I had to pick a few weeds out of my beard, but it was...
You were looking like Cthulhu.
But I appreciated what I had done for my lawn and even the sacrifices that I'd made. By copping a face full of sea salt. And I'm very appreciative of my efforts over this last little period of time, and I just wanted to let you guys know that.
Oh, great. Okay. So Ben appreciating himself. Yeah. Let's have a couple of quick follow-ups here while we're rolling. Monty, hair update? Looking fresh or what?
My hair?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah. How's your fade? Fresh? Fresh fade happening?
Go on, Dan. My wife had a weird request that I followed up with for some reason. I have a modern man's mullet currently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a modern man's I've never had this.
Why did she request this? She's an ice hockey fan, isn't she?
So, ice hockey fan, I've seen photos of her old man in the 80s and man, mullet to the fullest. And
don't say that.
That's a bit weird.
That's a bit weird.
Aging Freud.
I don't think it's that. So I had a go because her and my beautiful daughter August gave me a silver chain for Father's Day.
Did August really give you a chain, mate?
Well done.
Yeah, she's fucking super smart, mate. Leave her alone. She's three months old.
So you've got a mullet and a silver chain. Are you an Indian bowler from the 1980s?
See, right. Well, she didn't get that reference, but she gave me the chain first, and I've started wearing that all the time because, you know, my daughter gave it to me. That's great. And then she suggested I get a mullet. And I realized, I was like, what are you fucking doing here? Like, what are you trying to, And after a while, I was like, are you just taking the piss? Because I haven't seen anyone for ages because I'm at home a lot.
She's got Imran Khan fetish going.
I was going to say. Fair enough. Going to have Adidas tracksuit pants and a bum bag soon.
Yeah, nice. Well, I have those already.
Wow.
That's not I got a mullet. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Mullets are aplenty in my school at the moment. It's just there is a plethora of mullets. Like there's barely a lad which does not have a mullet.
Yeah, damn sports people. It's the back to sport. Yeah. It's these sports people with their
mullets.
Ironic
mullets.
Yeah, Pappenhausen
effect. Yeah, it's the Western Bulldogs effect.
I was going to say.
Yeah, Western
Bulldogs. Just the dirtiest hairstyles you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not just the mullet.
Well, the next follow-up I've been dying to hear about, Rich, which way are we leaning with the Cubby House, brother?
I've been dreading this because I've piked completely. Cubby
Piker. Completely. It's just completely gone.
It's completely gone because of super hot deals to Fiji, which were irresistible. So, we were heading over to the East Coast anyway. So it was like, we could get a cubby or we could have a week of everything all paid for.
Oh, right. Fiji. So it's the third option, which we didn't even discuss, which was nuts to that.
Nuts to that. Not bothering that.
Go to another country.
Nuts to that.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel like I've let the entire podcast down.
No, not at all. I want to hear about this deal to Fiji.
This is Mega Dad, though. You've just gone Mega Dad. You've gone, wait, do I build a cubby or not? Ooh, cheap deal. Travel.
Yeah.
Let's go, family.
I don't know.
I think on some subconscious level, that's exactly where it came from. It was like, I can get out of doing this cubby house by doing something even more spectacular here, which I actually get much more benefit from. So
yeah, and you're more likely to have like confetti raining from the heavens and everyone calling you number one dad going to Fiji, even
that's
if
that's right.
Yeah, well, short term, world's best dad.
That's right. So I'm standing by my decision at the moment. There's a few factors, of course, to consider.
Have they got their COVID under control, being one of them?
Cyclone season in Fiji, COVID still running rampant through the world. You know, what better time is there to go on a holiday to the Pacific Islands?
Surely a cyclone would move COVID around real quick.
Yeah. They just blow it away. That's what I heard.
It's probably the best time to go on a trip to the Pacific Islands if you're the only one on the island. That's the ideal time.
Yeah, true. And it also opens up holiday dad information.
Holiday dad would be interesting. And holiday this is, dad. Have you noticed, and I was going to ask holiday about this dad. Holiday have you noticed that there is no such thing as a holiday when you're a parent?
Yeah.
100%.
Like,
Hang on. Let me just qualify this for a second. There's a threshold of age. A threshold of age where, I don't know, maybe seven? Where I know what you're saying, but when they're young, yes, there is no holiday dad.
Well, this is where the trip to Fiji includes kids club for kids three plus. Nanny work. Extensive nanny at a reasonable price in resort. So everything's and like we're not a resort holiday kind of people generally, but we're just kind of at the point of we just need to have a break. We've worked pretty flat out for the last 5 years. As I say, like we were just relieved. I said to Tony today that you know what, we don't have to move this summer, and that's wow. That's a lovely thing for us. And because we've done it 4 out of the last 6.
Oh,
so sitting there and thinking about
the possibility. Let's just leave.
Let's just leave. That's right. Let's go.
Let's do a mini move.
Put ourselves. Yeah. And that's it.
A good teaching moment, I think. My wife booked a holiday. We're going for 4 days down to the south coast to an Airbnb for my birthday weekend in late November. Yeah. And it'll be our first kind of trip with the baby. Why don't you guys give me some tips for dad holiday? Any suggestions, anything? I got worried when you said that there are no holidays.
There's none. But headphones, definitely. Okay. Good quality headphones.
Your children don't suddenly decide to completely change their behavior and personality. So
when you're on holiday,
when you're on holiday,
we can relax.
Yeah.
So they're still going to need all the things they need, and they're still going to act the way they act. You just get to wear looser shirts and I drink more and eat more food. I assume buffets included, Richard, in your Fiji holiday.
It is a meals inclusive holiday, so yes, we didn't go the drinks package, but there's 8 restaurants in the resort, so there's a variety of a la carte or buffet, so not just buffet, thank God, because I think that George will destroy. He'll be like Homer Simpson and being escorted out for the man who did not have
I think. Thanks for your advice, guys.
Yeah.
Child is so young that it's probably, you know, you're going to just be away from home doing the same things. That's kind of my guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. She's not going to go, oh, we're somewhere else. I'm going to get a solid 10-hour kip in here.
Yeah. I'm going to hang out in a hammock for 4 hours. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Although I think that indoctrinating them to the car is a very good move early on. We did that with Tilly early. And our kids are phenomenal in the car. On holidays, nightmares, but in the car is just the smoothest sailing we could ever hope for. So touching wood. Because we've done obviously quite a few trips. Like we're living in Mildura now, we're backwards and forwards from the East Coast. So they're used to the long car trip. They're very, very adept at it. So making that a part of their routine has probably been a very good part of a good thing for them.
Absolutely. Oh, nice. We did such a good job of it that my son Dylan is turning 10 next month, still falls asleep if he's in the car for longer than 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
10-year-old's the same. She does the same. It's just gets him to sleep.
Hopefully he grows out of that, because that could be an issue at 16, 17.
Micro sleeps.
It's warm, it's jiggly, I'm out. I'm unconscious.
Oh, if you're going to sell it to me like that, I'm in too.
Higgins is in.
You've been ribald dad tonight.
Ribald dad. Yeah, but I don't think there's any tips for sure. Yeah, don't go expecting things to be different in regards to your child.
Yeah.
I think especially when they're that young, I think the big thing is to kind of really almost locking yourself in is the best part of a holiday you could do. So as you say, kind of it's almost that in isolation but in a different place. So preparing yourself and this is the big thing, is the packing side of everything when you've got the kid, is you just realize how much extra crap you have to bring compared to, like, I remember going to visit Stu in Wagga with a can of deodorant in my pocket.
That's right.
And that was it. Whereas then you go on holiday with the kids and it's just the amount of stuff you need and the amount of possible situations, and you'll still forget something and you'll still won't have it. And so, yeah.
We should probably put some meat around the bone of that comment. Matt and Ben... I used to go to uni in Wagga Wagga, which is a country town in Australia. And Matt and Ben had planned to come down and visit me. On their way through, they stopped in to see Richard, who was in Sydney at the time.
Had a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were leaving and he decided he was going to come too. Hadn't planned to come, had nothing packed. So he grabbed a can of deodorant and hopped on the train.
He had his wallet and a can of deodorant.
Richard kind of had a can of deodorant in my pocket already. I didn't.
Yeah, no, he didn't buy it. Yeah, he already had it. Yeah.
Richard, what
Lynx Africa?
What did you use to pay for your ticket?
No.
Didn't you use the next week's rent to pay for your ticket down to Wagga?
Yeah, I had no money.
No, he just maced the ticket collector with his deodorant.
He had a lighter as well. So it was
how long into the, I don't know, 6-8 hour train trip, was there any regret at any stage of the train trip?
I had no regrets whatsoever. Yeah, that was a great trip.
We played 500 in the train for like seven of those 8 hours.
That's true. Yes, we did.
And look, Rich, I don't think there's any shame in that, certainly not from my direction in abandoning your project, because I'll abandon a project in a heartbeat, mate. I don't care. I don't care if my dadness gets judged. If it's too hard, it's gone.
2 weeks ago, I was halfway through painting a bathroom and wanted to pack it in. I'm building an entire cubby.
I hadn't committed myself. Like, I'd committed myself with a bit of research and I hadn't gone any further. So I feel good about the decision at the moment. And I think it was the right move to make because, it was just going to be too much for the payoff at the moment. It may change. We'll see how we go.
Yeah. All right.
Can I just ask? I have a question in relation to what the plans are moving forward, because now you've made an investment in passports and obviously they have an expiry date. So how much international travel are you expecting to do over the next X amount of time?
Well, we did already have, we missed out on our trip to France in 2020. So that was supposed to be the big trip overseas, the big first trip overseas. Over the last summer period. So that didn't happen. So
you had everything there ready to rock and roll.
There's going to, like, you know, and there is relatives overseas, which is a big factor as well. So this is something you might want to consider as well, Monty. Have you got any plans or any thoughts about traveling overseas at the moment, or is that not on the horizon?
Absolutely. No, that is, as my wife is of the Canadian persuasion, we have many plans to travel to the Great White North.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is the thing, like, you know, and we haven't traveled internationally. I've got to say though, I know this isn't necessarily this is a dad dogging moment. My brother and my brother and his three children, he didn't go with them, but his wife took the three children, including a 7-month-old or 6-month-old at the time, to Russia by herself for like 2.5 months.
Was it like a Hunger Games thing or?
This is what they do. Like, you know, she's Russian, obviously.
Wow.
So, and she's incredible. She just picks them up and takes them. And it's just like, there's no way on earth I'd travel that far with three kids in tow.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds like that's my worst nightmare.
Well, I had to take three kids with me today. I took two of them to get haircuts and had to take the 5-year-old with me as well. It was horrible.
To Russia,
that was
like
10 minutes away. Yeah, 10 minutes right. away.
Russian haircut.
It was horrific.
Well, we had vodka, though, so there was a link.
Breakfast vodka.
Well, episode
feel particularly directionless?
Well, I told you I don't have much of a rundown. That's probably why.
No, I'm fine with it. It does feel particularly like we're going nowhere. But I have learned a lot about travel.
Sometimes you just got to check in on things you've already done in case people are wanting more, you know?
Ooh.
Well, in the spirit of updates, Matt, you said you wanted to talk about another update. Can we do that in less than 5 minutes?
Sure. Is this self-care update? Is that what you mean? Yeah. So on the weekend, I did some self-care by doing a sensory deprivation float.
What?
Oh, wow. Was that?
I'm super into
that's
this.
Like super alone. That's like alone times a million.
Yeah.
Alone. Wow. That shit's all over your lawn mowing, Wigo.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Tell me about it. Everyone got so excited about Matthew being super alone.
Did you have to go somewhere? Did you go somewhere or just get in a bath and put on like an eye mask?
No, there's a flotation tank place in Canberra, and I actually had it booked the day we went into lockdown, where I was really stressed at work, and Justine
surely that was excluded. It's like as isolated as you can get.
That's true. And so this is the third one I've done. I've done it before.
Oh,
and so sensory deprivation. You get in a weird pod and close the lid and you're floating heavily like salt.
Is it rather saline water?
Very, very magnesium salt bath at body temperature.
Do you get to a hallucinatory state? Is that the kind of?
Yeah, it's like not quite lucid dreaming, but it's, I wouldn't say hallucinatory. Yeah. Although, no, that's wrong. In some cases, yes.
Active dreaming, I guess.
Yeah, active dreaming. It's good for creativity. I was trying to write something and
did you take the pen and paper in with you?
Oh, no, but it's so clear and vivid. It's easy. It's like it's happening for you. Like it's being presented. It's like awake dreaming because you've got no, like absolutely demons. No senses. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like witchcraft.
I know people who have done it and it freaks them out because of that, because it's like, I don't know what my brain is doing here. But it's kind of equivalent to the sort of very vivid dreaming you have just as you go to sleep when you're not quite asleep and you get the dream. No, the hypnic jerks and all that
weird
stuff.
Dad question.
Mm-hmm.
How much does it cost?
I felt you coming there, Buckland.
Could I make one at home just as good?
Yeah.
Probably.
Could Richard make one at home just as good?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Forget the cubby. I'm building a centuries of deprivation tank.
Heaps of salt. Is all I can tell.
Can you cook pork in it?
Yeah, definitely. But I realized that there was some still in my ears after the float, like the next day, and it was like, heavily salted. But it's as far as hallucinations go. I mean, if you want me to condense everything down, I can tell you the first time I did it, for a split second, I was Kurt Russell.
In
no. No, no,
just Kurt Russell.
In real life.
I was Kurt Russell. That's what happened. I was like, I'm Kurt Russell. And then that moved on to
what,
the next
What age?
The being John Malkovich vibe? So, did you wake up on the New Jersey Turnpike 20 seconds later? Like,
no, I was just Kurt Russell for like a
Goldie Hawn?
Big Trouble in Little China era?
Probably like 2000, mid-2000s.
Tango and Cash.
That's real weird.
No, that's after Tango and Cash.
Later. Yeah, that's after Tango and Cash.
Kurt Russell?
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
This is the thing that the dads have sounded most excited about so far on the podcast.
What, Kurt Russell?
I wish I could go back in time and go...
It's a loan.
I
wish I could
go back in time and say I can't cover it in 5 minutes. Obviously, maybe we'll come back the next episode.
Yeah, we'll come back next episode. Okay. But the dads were only the second most thing they were excited about is we go going to the podiatrist in terms of.
Well, I was hoping you'd ask for an update on that.
Well, God, it's got to be next episode. Okay, so next episode.
It's not as good as being alone, but anyway.
More flotation tank chat.
Yep.
Wigo's feet and much, much more. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ellis, your response to being alone. It was like, oh, God, that'd be amazing.
That's the most
difficulty.
Alone.
This is a difficulty with you not telling me exactly what it is. I've got no idea how much time to allot it.
Well, I didn't know. I thought I would say something and you'd be like, oh, that sounds cool. But I didn't realize.
Wouldn't you lead with, I was in a flotation tank? Like, is that the first thing?
It's like stand-up comedy. You don't know what people are going to respond to. You might turn up and go, I mowed my lawn and you know, I've got to, give me some things. I've got a mullet.
I've got a mullet. It's pretty good. I've got to say.
Yeah. And you pause, wait for laughter, and you're like, oh, all right, moving on. What else?
It's a weird place. My name is Stuart Buckland, and some guests and I are going to look at all the weird stuff that happens in this world of ours. Is that suitably vague enough for you? Bit weird, but fair enough, I guess. Find this podcast wherever you listen to other podcasts.